The cattle industry is definitely king in Nebraska. Cows outnumber humans 4-1, and the state claims America's number one cow county, Cherry County, that is. Mention the phrase Omaha steak to any discerning meat eater, and they will invariably nod knowingly with a savory expression on their lips. Way out west in the sand hills of Nebraska, cattle ranchers are definitely kings, but it takes a really big spread to make a living. I asked Steve Moreland, the owner of Spearhead Ranch in Merriman, Nebraska, how many head per acre he ran, and he replied,
It's acres per cow. It takes from 20 to 30 acres per cow.
One head per 20.
Per year, yes.
Sounds like the Australian outback.
About.
Except I think they're 1 square mile per head.
It's still one of the best cattle countries in the world, and Cherry County, Nebraska, has more mother cows than any county in the nation.
Overshadowed by Nebraska's legendary beef industry is the up-and-coming market for buffalo. Way back in 1804, when Lewis and Clark traipsed across the West en route to the Pacific, it's estimated that 50 million buffalo roamed the Great Plains. But tragically, by the end of the 19th century, less than 500 buffalo remained. In the dawning days of the 20th century, when the state of South Dakota started a quest to reintroduce buffalo, they actually had to source some of their stock from the Bronx Zoo in New York. Fortunately, today, according to the National Bison Association, there's an estimated 500,000 buffalo in America. And across Nebraska, you'll find more and more ranchers specialized in buffalo. A prime reason for buffalo's resurgence is its superior qualities as a commercial meat product. Buffalo has approximately 35% more protein and half the calories of beef, and there's only 1.8 grams of fat per 3-ounce serving, compared to 8.7 grams in beef. Over in northeastern Nebraska, I stopped in at the Krajicek Elk and Buffalo Ranch in Niobrara for a visit with Stacy Krajicek Miller.
The buffalo meat market is growing, you know, it's in high demand. So we are feeding them, and then we feed them out, and then we take them to Pierce, Colorado, and that's where they get slaughtered there.
The buffalo meat market, I presume, it has to be a growing market.
It is. Where we take it to Pierce, Colorado, those people own 3 slaughter plants, and so sometimes they'll even pay the trucking because they're
that motivated.
Yeah, they're not getting them in, so. And there are so many more healthy, conscious people. The demand is just really growing.
Let's talk about cooking buffalo meat for a moment. One of the downsides is you can wind up with a tough burger.
You can.
Yeah,
you
so
can.
We know the secret. Share it.
Yeah. We always cook it slower. Sometimes if it's like the hamburger, if it's a little dry, if you want it more juicy, maybe mix a little olive oil with it or, you know, like with the roast. We do a lot of slow cookers, you know.
So
with the
slower
ropes.
And lower temperature.
Yeah, marinating the steaks. We've had different marinades. Hunters, they always come and they all have their own recipes that, this works good and this works good. So we've tried a lot of different things, but I mean, that always helps too, but that's the trick, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the state's earliest advocates of organic, sustainable, grass-fed ranching and farming is Dave Hutchinson and his family. They have been adhering to organic practices in the Sand Hills region around Rose, Nebraska for more than 30 years. In addition to farming seasonal crops, Hutchinson's passion is his sustainable, organic, grass-fed buffalo operation. I stopped in at the Hutchinson Family Organic Farm for a visit with Dave. As he surveyed his undulating fields, a contingent of his herd of 250 buffalo meandered over to check us out. And he explained that even though they are commonly called buffalo, they are technically called bison. How did you start?
Well, it was in my grandparents' blood to always come to the sand hills, and I finally made it. We've been here about 45 years, and it's just home.
You have your family background in ranching and farming?
In ranching and farming, yes, but they were more in southeast. Both sets of grandparents tried to come, and one bought land up by Gordon for a while, and I finally made it. It was just in my blood.
What worked for you?
the grazing, you know, I knew a lot about grass. I'm a conservationist, and my dad was a state soil conservationist. I just knew a lot about grass and animals. We got into the bison because I wanted a majestic animal that was healthy and could calve easy and would withstand all the storms.
You talked earlier about rotation. It seems to me to be such a no-brainer.
Everybody thinks that's something new. Well, the buffalo have been doing it for hundreds of years. It's in their nature. After 3 days, they move. It's just in their way of life. And if you just follow the buffalo, like I always say, white man much crazy. Just look at past history and think about and have the knowledge of past history. You won't make the mistakes going forward.
You have buffalo, you have goat, cattle. What else do you do?
Well, we have our own chickens for eggs. Everything's raised organically. We have a milk cow that we milk. We have four or five milk cows, but we try to only milk one at a time, and we milk them once a day. You don't have to milk them twice a day.
This is your more self-sustaining farm.
It's self-sustaining, yes, for us. Commercially, we do raise an acre of potatoes, an acre of squash, and then we do sell it, but we do keep that for ourselves. And that'll last till July, and then we also, potatoes, we do sell to upscale restaurants that are interested in serving good food, the potatoes and the squash. We'll go to Omaha, which is 260 miles. Some of that ends up in Kansas City, but we try to do business with people that like to buy local and organic and be sustainable.
Are there other neighbors of yours that are doing the same mission?
Well, they're catching on. Like it used to be that none of them did rotational grazing, and now practically all of them are doing it, and it's a way of life. People are going to understand it because of the health aspects of it. I mean, I'm healthy, and look at people a lot younger than me that aren't so healthy. Well, there's a reason. It's my lifestyle and the way I eat.
Well, a friend of mine, we were talking the other day, and we were saying, when we were kids, do you remember one kid in your class that had a peanut allergy?
There wasn't any, you know, they were active and they weren't fat, but look at the corn syrup and the processed meat you have now and the processed foods, all the additives and preservatives, keep that out of there and the corn syrup, all of a sudden you get healthy.
Do you think we can turn that tide? Do you think we can turn it around as a society?
I look at it 30 years ago or so when we were really into grass-fed and sustainability, we were the odd people on the block, and today that's the end thing, and I don't think it's...
So that's a good sign.
It's a good sign, and it's not a fad. It will stay here because we're sustainable. We're a feedlot where the price of grain fluctuates is not, and you put them in a feedlot, you got E. coli problems. If you're grass-fed, 100% grass-fed, you do not have E. coli problems. When E. coli mutates in a feedlot, that's the bad E. coli when it mutates. In a grass-fed operation, you do not have bad E. coli. And by the way, these bison are bilingual. Buffalo comes from the French word buff. Buffalo. They know Tatanka, the great Lakota nation, that's the word for buffalo. One of our last big health seminars we had a Cherokee elder here, and she says, those buffalo, they need to know Cherokee. I said, yeah, I agree with you. And the buffalo were a mile and a half away, and I said, you call them. And we had about 150 people over here in the pasture, and they were going to come through a gate, and she calls them, Ikwa Yangsa. Ikwa Yangsa, and everybody else back here thought we were all crazy. Well, about 5-6 minutes, here came the buffalo. All of them right through, right in front of us. Ikwa Yangsa. So I said, well, now they know Cherokee. We're taking care of the land. Healthy food equals healthy people. And it's an educational journey. I mean, the Native American had it right with the buffalo. You know, they lived to be 120 years old. And they had stamina. It's just like the buffalo can run. Well, people can run. If you eat right, you have more endurance. It's all about taking care of the land and the wildlife, and it's a complete circle.
You have a real essential mission of organic, of not using chemicals, no pesticides, no additives.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Once you start using pesticides and chemicals, you compromise nature.
But here you are, a Nebraska rancher, farmer. It's not the stereotype, you know, it's not what one thinks. Are you a lone wolf out here? Are you teaching others? Are there others who are following in your mind?
There's other like-minded people like me. It's kind of like CSA's farmers markets, and it's like us 25, 30 years ago, we were the lone people trying to do it right as far as organics and the eating right. And
by 200 head.
Yeah, we run 200, 250 head of buffalo, and we run some beef cows, and we run goats. We're in north central Nebraska, Rose, Nebraska. Our email is buffalo, B-U-F-F-A-L-O, at nntc.net. And the phone number is 402-273-4574. Dave Hutchinson.
Dave, thank you so much.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Rose, Nebraska.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR. Go, 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 go.